and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful that you are here today. Thank you for downloading another podcast, and welcome anew, to anyone who is here for the first time. Friend, it is no accident that we are here thinking about God's Word together, and so I am just so thankful that you're here. Please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a bit and see what the Lord has for us today. I want to encourage you to consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. Know that I pray for you daily. I continue to pray for you that the Lord would draw you closer to Him and give you more of that desire to know Him, to know His Word, that you will have that hunger and thirst for Him and His righteousness and the things of Him. You know, we talked yesterday about the things that are unseen are eternal. The things of this world are temporal or temporary, but the things of God are eternal. And oh, friends, I'm looking forward to those things. I'm looking forward to when we will have that life with the Lord Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already with us. Jesus has told us He is with us always, even unto the end of the earth, or the end of the age, I should say. But there is more coming. We have an inheritance. We have something to look forward to past these difficulties in this dark world that we're in now, and I'm thankful for that. I would like to let you know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. You can find my email down in the show notes. It's awordforthisday@gmail.com. Well, our verse for the day for April the 19th, 2024 comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. And He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Oh, friends, I'm excited for us to park here today. Many of us have heard this many times, but it's good for us to see what was going on, who was speaking, to whom was He speaking, what was the circumstance. And that's why it's so important for us to think about where we are in the scripture. Think about what's going on surrounding this so that we can know, and this will help us to remember. So we are in this Gospel of Matthew, and we've been in the New Testament a lot. I was looking back to see if we have been in the Old Testament any this month yet. And yes, so I guess on the 1st and 2nd of April, we were in the Old Testament. But since then, we've been in the New Testament. And looking ahead, Lord willing, we'll be in the Old Testament some more this month. But this is just the way the verses fell a lot are in the New Testament. But we're in this Gospel of Matthew. The New Testament opens with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It moves to Acts, which is that book of early church history. And then it moves to Paul's letters. There's 13 of those. Then to the general letters written by men who were not Paul. There's 8 of those. And then that book of New Testament prophecy, which is Revelation. These Gospels tell us the good news of the story of Jesus, about why He came to this earth, what happened when He came, what went on surrounding the events of His time here. And it tells us about, some of them tell us about His birth. Some of them tell us before His birth, and about His ministry, about the people He encountered. We read about His miracles. We read about His suffering for us. We read about His crucifixion and His death and His burial, and we read about His resurrection. And I'm so thankful, because without the resurrection, friends, none of this matters. If Jesus had not come to save us, if He hadn't come to be that sacrifice to pay the penalty for that we owed for our sins against a holy God, if he had not done that, if he had not defeated death and hell and sin in the grave and promised us that we would have eternal life, there would really be nothing to look forward to. We would have no hope, but we do have hope. We can actively await what is coming. But he gives us so much in the now here. And so I'm so thankful for that. But we know that, as I mentioned, these gospels tell us that good news. And they were written by four different men with four different writing styles, and seemed to initially have four different audiences that they were intended for. I'm so thankful, though, that all of God's Word is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all of this is important to us as believers, as followers of Christ. And we see that two of these Gospels, Matthew and John, were written by apostles who walked with him daily during his earthly ministry. They saw the miracles in person. They saw how he interacted with the large crowds and then with the individuals. They saw how he was when he was tired and hungry, and they saw how he was with all of the things. They saw him be crucified. They saw him be placed in that tomb. They saw him after he was resurrected, and they saw him ascend back to heaven. Matthew and John wrote those two. And then Luke and Mark wrote the other two. Now, all of these men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. But Mark and Luke were not eyewitnesses like Matthew and John were. But that makes their Gospels no less part of Scripture, no less God-inspired. You know, those original apostles had that eyewitness account, and then they told the good news to other people. And then those people told the good news to other people. And that's exactly what happened with Luke and Mark. And so I'm thankful for that. Matthew's audience, his intended audience, seemed to be his fellow Jews. He so wanted them to know that Jesus was this long-awaited Messiah, the one they'd all been looking for, the one of whom the law and the prophets spoke. And he very much tries to encourage them throughout his gospel. His is the longest of the four gospels. And we see him use the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, frequently throughout here. We see him use a lot of Old Testament prophecy to show, because he knew he was talking to the Jews who would have had familiarity with the law and the prophets. And so he really tries to point people to Jesus in that way. Mark's gospel, as we've talked about, was thought to have been much of what the Apostle Peter taught. Mark was a traveling companion with the Apostle Peter. Mark's gospel is the shortest, and it's thought that his was originally written to some of the Romans based on different things that he says throughout his gospel. Luke's gospel is the only one written by a Gentile. Luke was a non-Jew, but he was saved. He was a physician. And he gives this very orderly account going back before Jesus was born and the events surrounding the birth of Jesus and before Jesus' birth and all the way through to his ascension. And then John's gospel, it's thought that he was very well aware and acquainted with the other gospels when he wrote his. And his is just a different, it has a different style, a different flavor. Of course, as I mentioned, all of these are for all of us, but John's gospel has been described as a spiritual gospel. He just so talks about love and faith and truth, and I'm so thankful for that. We don't see the parables in John's gospel like we do in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I want to show you how Matthew's gospel opens up. It's when you think about that he was probably writing to his fellow Jews, the way that he opens his gospel is very interesting, because he knew that to his fellow Jews, genealogies or being able to trace back ancestries was very important to them. And so that is how he opens his gospel. And I love it because he starts with Abraham and goes forward all the way to Jesus, because the Jews would talk about their father Abraham and they were waiting for that promise that God had made to Abraham, that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And certainly that is what happened with Jesus. But I love that. And so you see here at the beginning of Matthew, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And he goes all the way through, all the way down to verse 16. And it says, "And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations." I love that. And then as far as the writer of this book, I didn't tell you, you may know this, that Matthew was a tax collector, and he was not well liked by his fellow Jews, and because he worked with the Romans, and he was part of those who would take money. And some of the tax collectors did not have good reputations because they would often take what was required by the Romans and then take extra for themselves. But we read over in, I believe, in Matthew chapter 9 about the calling of Matthew. And much like what we're going to read in our story today, when Jesus called him, he left what he was doing. He knew what it was like to leave an earthly world of security and comfort because he had a good job, and to leave everything and follow Jesus. And so he knew that of which he spoke. And he also just knew that that eternal weight, the things that weren't seen, like we talked about yesterday, mattered so much more than the things that we could see or treasures on this earth. But if you listen to this in Matthew 9:9, it says, "And as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he stood up and followed him." And so that's what happened with Matthew. Now, we don't know, did Matthew, had he been hearing Jesus? Had he been into any of those times when Jesus had taught, and then his heart was already tendered, and when Jesus called him, he was ready to go? Only those who were there know that, but we do know that when Jesus called, he followed, and I'm so thankful for that. But what we see at the beginning of Matthew, we see that genealogy like we talked about. We see about Jesus's birth. Matthew and Luke give us more information on the events surrounding Jesus's birth than some of the other Gospels do. And then we read about John the Baptist, who was sent to prepare the way in verse 3. And we read about, or not verse 3, chapter 3. Then we read about the baptism of Jesus. Then about the temptation of Jesus, where Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after that temptation time is where Jesus' earthly ministry really begins to kick off. And so I want to begin in verse 17 of chapter 4, and we'll read forward to our verse for the day. And this was talking about after Jesus' earthly ministry began. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he," and that's Jesus, "said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And I'm going to read past that. "And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." I love this example because Jesus called them from where they were. He came to where they were and called them. And friends, what an example, what a blessing. He does the same to us. He draws us to himself. We read that no one can come to the Father unless he is drawn. And I think about how Jesus came to this earth. He came to us, and he did that here with Simon Peter and Andrew. You know, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He went to where they were and called them. And that is just such a wonderful characteristic of our Lord, that he did that often. When he went by the tax collector's booth, like we just talked about with Matthew, he called him. And as I mentioned with Matthew, I don't know if Matthew had heard him teach and speak, and then his heart was ready when the Lord called him. It seems to me that perhaps it could have been that way with Andrew and Peter. And the reason I say that is because in John's gospel, we read in John chapter 1 that John the Baptist was with some of his disciples, and some men heard him teach. They heard John the Baptist teach, and they heard him teach about this baptism of repentance, and they also heard John point to the Lord Jesus. I want you to listen to this and then see how we can connect that to our verse for the day. It says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35, on the next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and that's talking about John the Baptist. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak and followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and noticed them following, he said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And so I love that. I think it seems when you take into account what was here in Matthew's gospel, as well as what was in John's gospel. And remember, both of those men were in that original apostle group. So they would have heard the stories, I think, of each other about how each one was called. I can almost imagine that they would say, "Well, what were you doing when he called you? You know, what were you doing when you came to know the Lord?" We don't have that anywhere, but I can imagine that perhaps when they were talking with one another, that may have happened. And we read here in John's gospel that Andrew heard John talking about Jesus. And then Andrew heard Jesus, and he went to his brother Peter and said, "Come, we found that Messiah." And Jesus was able to have an interaction with Peter and Andrew then. But then it seems that when it was time for them to be called to be his disciples and to follow him, that's what we see here in this passage in Matthew. Because Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee, he saw these brothers, and it says he saw them casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen in our verse. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, they would have understood the work that went into fishing. But just like we talked about, I believe it was yesterday when we were in 2 Corinthians 4:18 about how the things that are unseen are eternal and the things that are seen are temporary or temporal. This was much bigger than just catching fish to eat. And that was always how it was with Jesus. That's how it is with God. His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our ways. So there was something on a much grander scale that they couldn't even imagine, I think. And it's that same way with us. You know, each of us has a calling on our lives. There's something that the Lord has that He wants each of us to do. And we really can't even fully comprehend that. And I think about that when I see here where Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." They had no idea that they were going to help encourage others to come into the kingdom to eternal life. I mean, I don't think they could have totally grasped that then, nor can I imagine that they could have grasped it after the fact all the way. I mean, we can't even understand it fully because we've not been there yet. We've not made it to heaven. But I'm excited for whenever the Lord says that it's time for that to happen, because I know it'll be just so much more than what we can ever could ever have asked or imagined or thought of. But I love this example, too, of what happened when Jesus called them and told them to follow Him. It says immediately they left their nets and followed Him. And I think, oh Lord, can I do that when You ask me to do something? Can I be ready to do it immediately? Can I be ready to obey in all things? And I want that. I desire to do that. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way and we question and we worry and we second guess. But may we pray for the Lord to give us that that desire to do His will when He calls us immediately. And we don't have to know all the details, just like they didn't know what all the details would be. We don't have to know the details. We just have to trust. And that makes me think of what we read in Proverbs, where King Solomon wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." And so we must be ready as believers to obey fully. And there's such blessing in that obedience, such blessing beyond what we can ask or think, beyond what we can imagine. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about those spiritual blessings, those heavenly blessings. And so I'll encourage you to desire that same thing, to be obedient to Him, to be able to follow Him, to want to follow Him. And Jesus tells us how. He says, "If anyone would follow me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me." He says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me." May we do that for His glory, just like these men did when Jesus called them from their boats. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.